This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
So today, we're welcoming to our studio Jill Fawcett. Hello, Jill.
Hello.
Well, now, Jill is a Rotarian at Shepperton Aurora Rotary. In fact, she's a founder member of that club and has been a Rotarian for the past 20 years. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, Doreen.
Well, that's she's been a busy lady. She's quite a quiet lady, is our Jill. But the story she's going to tell us today is part of Rotary's rather rich tapestry. It's about health the world over and polio eradication. Now, Jill, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to over the past 2 years, which involves trying to rid the world of polio.
Well, last year I went out to India to assist with the National Immunisation Day, or as it's called by Rotarians, the NID, and you become a NIDder. And last year I went over and spent the time over the few days in Delhi. And then this year I've just been out and come back from Calcutta, having a similar but very different experience in a different part of the country doing the same work.
Okay, now for most people, to spend your holiday doing inoculations isn't quite what we do. I mean, Graham may go off and look at trains. I tend to like to go to a hotel or sit on a beach in the sun. So you spent the last two holidays out in India working with children in, one could say, abject poverty, because of polio. Now, many years ago, Rotary started this program. And take us back to the figures that we were looking at and how long ago it was that Rotary's been involved. And so when we go on that journey and where we are today, because I think it's a fantastic story. We started back in, was it the
1980s? 1985, Rotary launched its most ambitious program called Polio Plus.
And there were cases across the world.
And there were cases, yes, all over the place.
All over the place. And we're talking polio in England. We haven't seen polio in England since perhaps the 60s. But in the developing world, if one might use that phrase, it was endemic. And this is where children, their mobility, they die. If they die in extreme cases, and their mobility is totally compromised ordinarily. Is that
yes.
How you see it?
Very severely deformed.
Yeah. And so working with these children, you didn't go on your own. You went with a group of fellow Rotarians. How many of you were there?
This year there was just short of 100 Rotarians from across the UK. We all gathered in Delhi for a briefing, and then the following day we all dispatched over to the various places that we were going to carry out the NID.
And did you find that having these 100 Rotarians with you was a help, that you had like-minded people beside you with language?
Oh, very much so. Also, some people I had met last year came back. We tend to do somewhere different rather than stay in the same place. And yes, obviously that does help with the all being fellow Rotarians, which is a very good bunch of people to be with.
Well, it's incredible. And Jill has already mentioned that she used the word NID and being a NIDder. Jill, I've never heard you referred to as a NIDder, so that's a first for me. These centres that we're talking about that you go to pick up the vaccine and everything, we're not talking about a nice posh doctor's surgery that we see in the UK. Paint me a picture about what one might look like.
Well, the one in Calcutta, the first one that I remember, we were led down some little narrow streets, and we went into somewhere, one little doorway, which had health department over the door, and it was just a little mess of offices, one leading through to another, and stacked full of things, boxes, papers, chairs, and lots of people doing some work, mainly health visitors. Wasn't at all what you would expect in this country of a health department.
And it's manual, isn't it? They're not working off computers?
You would see some computers around, but whether they were modern enough to be used, don't really know.
But also, I mean, the reason I sort of can visualize some of this is that you did a wonderful presentation to our Rotary Club, and one of it was an actual pole in the ground with figures written on it in just numbers, basically.
That was, it's one of the ways that the health workers, they go round and visit houses as well as doing the booths that we were active with. And they have to actually identify on each like gatepost the fact that they've been to that particular house and how many children that they managed to immunise at that stage, because they may not have got all of the children there. And so there's various codes and numbers, etc., which are written onto the gatepost so that any other health visitors going around know what's been done.
Not the sort of thing you see in the UK, basically, is it, Jill?
Not at all.
Not at all. So in India, you've gone out there, and this program, we call it inoculation, but you're giving the children drops as opposed to injections, and focusing on this, the actual expression that's used when the children have had these drops to end polio is a purple pinky. Tell us what a purple pinky is, Jill.
What we do on what we call Polio Sunday, which is when we go mainly to assist in the booths that are set up in various villages. It might be in schools, it might be in a medical centre, it might just be a table on the corner of a street outside somebody's house. And we, being Rotarians in our bright yellow polo shirts, we help attract the locals to come and actually have their children immunised. Very often we're in poor areas and they don't know what's going on, they can't read the notices, they don't have radio, etc., to be able to pick up any promotional material that's been put around. And so they come probably out of curiosity to see what these white people from overseas have come into their village for. And we help vaccinate you with the health workers.
And the health workers are mainly women, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. Yeah. Some formidable women, I think. But then I think they have quite a job to do when you're dealing with so many people and so many people who don't understand what's actually happening.
So not just are we doing the story here of Jill from the UK going out to India in this case on this programme, but meeting some of these health workers. And it is a difficult task. We do know that in Pakistan some of these ladies actually lost their lives at one point. So it's not an easy task for them to do. But the work that they are doing is, well, it's a little short of amazing that the ground they cover with their boxes of vaccine on their back, isn't it?
Yes, they have insulated boxes which they carry around the vaccine, the little vials of vaccine, which has to be kept cool all the time. And we are allowed as Rotarians to help vaccinate these children, and we give each child under five two drops. And then the next part is to purple their pinky, which is on their left hand, the little finger. There's a specific mark that's made with a purple pen, and that's what we then go looking for on the next day. And any health workers who are doing any work subsequent to that, they will look for children who don't have a purple pinky.
It's a very simple method, but my goodness me, it works, because I know you were in India, but the figures for Pakistan is they look to vaccinate 35 million under the age of five. This is an awful lot of children. I mean, it's an unbelievable amount.
I think in India it's 173 million children are vaccinated every year under five.
Unbelievable, isn't it, really? And
yes.
this is obviously carried out by the health workers, but with the support of Rotary. So, Jill, you're in amongst this, you know, all the children, their parents, where they live in India. And this is the second time you've gone to do this, as we've said. So we are going to hear how it's affected you, Jill, and how you've come back and told us about this. But tell me, what made you want to go to India in the first place on this program? What one point in your life sparked that off?
It was probably about 5 or 7 years ago when one of our fellow Rotarians, she went out to Delhi, and she came back and gave a talk, and I thought, I'd like to do that.
And this is Karen Sutton?
Yes.
Yeah. And so when Karen came back and showed us what she'd been doing, you thought, that's for me. Now, knowing as I do, Jill, you're not the same as Karen. Karen is a very bubbly young lady. You're very quiet. And when you announced that you were going to do this, I think we were all in absolute awe that you were going to head off to India. But you had such an amazing time, first time out. And it's the results that are actually proving that by travelling across to India and doing these vaccinations, because looking at the statistics from last year, we've got how many cases reported in a year?
From information we were given by India, the Indian Rotarians, when I was out there in 2017, there were 22 cases.
22 cases. And so when this program started, you know, 30-odd years ago, we are talking just thousands and thousands and thousands of children who had this debilitating disease. So it's incredible. As we say in Rotary, we are that close to eradication.
In India, actually, they had their last case in 2011, but you still have to continue to immunise because of the potential for this to come back.
Yeah, and also the conditions that the children are living in some of these. And later on in the interview, I want Jill to paint a picture of that. But when Jill was showing a photo to us, we can't take on board with our other senses the smell. The poverty brings, water is filthy, the toilets are running beside these children, and it's so there's a lot of money has gone into this eradication scheme, and any Rotarian who donates towards this, their money is matched by Bill Gates, so that if I put in a pound, it turns into three. And it jolly well needs to, because this has cost millions and millions over the years, hasn't it, Jill?
Yes, it has.
So we are very fortunate to be sponsored by Bill Gates with this. And during the interview, we will hear about the small children. I think we might have time now, before we take a break for a record, to talk about one little boy that I remember vividly, the photo, Jill, and it's the little boy on the railway tracks. Tell me about him.
In Calcutta, when we were on Mop-Up Monday, which is the day that you go out to find children with no purple pinkies, there is one particular picture that probably does sum up what we did find. We were already in a slum, quite a magical place, and we kept hearing train horns, and we went through some narrow alleys, and I think we rather sort of preempted the Calcutta Rotarians guiding us there, and they were somewhat concerned because there was a live railway line, and there was the overspill from the slum, and people were not just living alongside the railway line, they were actually living on it. And every time a train came through, and there were three for the time that we were there, they'd blow the horn and they'd go very slowly, and life would gradually move off the track that particular train was moving along, and as soon as the train had gone past, life would go back onto the track, and there were people cooking, sitting, there were chickens, children playing, and there's one particular picture of a little boy. He was only about 2 or 3 years old. He has only a T-shirt on, no shoes. He's standing in amongst loads of splinters of wood and brick rubble and what we would call probably just generally rubbish. And that was his home. And the picture is of one of my colleagues actually taking his left hand to see if he had a purple pinky, which he didn't have. So another colleague came and administered the drops and vaccinated him.
To me, Jill, this is one of the most powerful pictures of why we are doing this, because it's reaching the poorest of the poor. You know, that child has nothing. He lives on a railway line. He's in danger all day long. Not only in danger of a train, but in danger of polio. And the fact that you and the rest of the Rotarians have gone out and provided some hope for him in the future of not getting polio, to me is fantastic.
And what was interesting, at the end, we spent, I don't know, half an hour walking along, just finding, going, asking to where there was children, finding children ourselves. There was a lot of, tarpaulins, bits of plastic, bits of tin, etc., for some sort of shelter all along either side of the railway line. And when we came to the end and went back into the street area, there was a lady, she probably was only about 30, 40, but she probably looked about 60, sitting in the dirt. And she said that she'd had polio as a child, and this is why she was there. And she thanked us for coming to India and for helping remove polio from her country.
Jill, it's too powerful for words, and I thank you for sharing that. It is a story of amazing hope. And for someone to say thank you on that. Now, Jill was telling us about the young child on the railway tracks before and the fact that he was having an inoculation, which is why the Rotarians go to India and why Jill has been out there two times. So, Jill, you're moving around these children who live in abject poverty, and this lady stops you and thanks you about coming to her country. Tell me again, just how did that feel to you?
There were a lot of Indians actually before then and subsequent, because I had a short holiday after the NID finished. A lot of Indians come up with, if you had Rotary a badge on, a Rotary T-shirt, they would come up to you and say thank you for coming to our country and helping with polio. India, everyone in India knows about Rotary. They know the good work that they do, and they're very respectful and very thankful if you're actually helping them.
That is as it should be in many ways, but it's also quite humbling, I think, I haven't visited, but as a Rotarian, being thanked for doing something which is part of the ethos of being a Rotarian.
Oh, absolutely. And what amazed me, I had several internal flights at the time, and I wore a little badge that we were given to do with end polio. And when we were going through the airport, the women soldiers who do the security scan, very stern ladies who've got a job to do, and as soon as they saw the badge, they actually broke into a smile, and a lot of them would say, thank you for coming to India, thank you for what you're doing for polio.
I can see from your face, Jill, that's what it meant to you, you know, that was it, wasn't it? Being thanked by somebody in India who they live with polio or have lived with polio, because for us in the UK, polio may be finished in the 60s, but within living memory, certainly within my own family and Tony's family, my husband, his grandfather had polio, as did his uncle. So these are people that I knew and, you know, knew and loved and watched how they coped with polio, but with polio with a supportive health service. Polio in India isn't like that, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. And it is, it's not, you don't see children now with polio. It is late teenagers, 20-year-olds who've got polio, which would obviously be when Rotary would have started the polio.
Yeah, because you're looking at 30 years, so yes. In that window, it's coming down and down and down. Well, 99.9% reduction worldwide, and that, so India is down there with that. Now, we touched on it briefly when we were talking about the purple pinky. In England, we try and link the purple pinky to something quite unusual. Tell us a bit about what that is.
Yes, the purple is the colour for the Polio Plus campaign, and there's a lot of like purple uniform that Rotary can wear, purple T-shirts, purple fleeces, etc. But we also use a purple crocus as the focus for raising money for polio.
And also, we know a lot about this because our club planted 5,000 of them with our Interact group, and they are the young Rotarians at Sunbury Manor School.
Yes.
And so if you happen to see a bed of purple crocuses anywhere in the UK, you can bet your bottom dollar they are from Rotary, celebrating End Polio Now. So bringing it back to the UK, we try and raise the awareness using the crocuses. Now, I, with my hand on my heart, And I know if I look at Graham at this moment, he's going to say, well, I only heard about that this evening when you told me, Dorian. We need to get more oomph into that. But the oomph that Rotary has got into it is the sheer money through the Bill Gates Foundation coming on board and matching all these funds and allowing all these vaccines to be produced and indeed given to the children. But the purple pink is a great way of linking with these beautiful flowers, the crocuses. And I did read that was one Rotary Club, unlike us and the students at Sunbury Manor who dug the things in, they actually sold small pots of crocuses in their local town. And I thought that was a lovely idea of getting the message out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yes, it's a good idea, isn't it? So there's lots of ways of using the crocus. And whilst we're on the fundraising side of things, we should say that we'd hope to have another guest with us, our fellow member, Norma Kent. Now, Norma couldn't make it this evening, but she was going to talk about fundraising. And the reason I have a slight smile here is that Norma's idea of fundraising at the age of nearly 82 is that she said, I'm going to jump out of a plane, my dear, in the arms of a quite fit young man. Personally, I think she she quite liked the idea of that. But she's doing this with her grandson in aid of polio eradication. Now, all power to you, Norma. And I hope when you listen to this, it will make you smile and make you feel a little bit better about not being here because Jill and I are having a laugh about it. But we raise money in all sorts of different ways, don't we? I mean, think about our own club. What do we do there, just off the top of your head? Is it, what do you reckon, the polio pig?
Oh, yes, we have a piggy bank which sits on the tables when we have our meeting, and for any small change that we might have floating around in our pockets and purses. And every few weeks this gets emptied, and it raises a few hundred pounds every year.
Yeah, a few hundred pounds in loose change. But bear in mind what we said earlier, that if that say it's £300, it's actually £900 because the Bill Gates money forces it up. So literally every little bit counts. There are Rotary clubs all over the UK and across the globe doing amazing fundraising events for End Polio Now. Last year on Rotary Day, which is in February, we had some Rotarians and Tony, my husband, and of course Pauline Hedges from our club, climbed over the O2, completely bonkers. Mike Gickell was with them, and they raised several hundred pounds each doing that. All power to them. I wasn't going up over that, whether I was chained to it or whatever. But that's the kind of thing that Rotary does, is try and raise awareness and raise money. So we do that. People host dinners, all sorts of things. But I do think that Norma is, she's flying the flag there by leaping out of that plane. Good luck, Norma. Wish you well on that. And definitely I'll sponsor you on that one.
I think there is a bit of an uphill struggle for us here, because in the West there does seem to be a misunderstanding that they think polio is finished, probably because India did promote that. And I think we actually had several instances of Europeans in the hotels we were staying in who saw our yellow T-shirts and said, oh, why are you here? It's all finished. And in fact, an Indian guy approached us when we were on the railway line, but we were at the station at that stage. And he said, I can't see what you're doing here because it's useless. And they did actually have quite a lengthy conversation with this guy who turned out to be in the medical profession and ended up volunteering his services to the Calcutta Rotary to help with ending polio.
So realising his mistake through misrepresentation.
Yes, even in India. But I think there is a lot of misunderstanding in the West that polio is finished. And youngsters nowadays, they only might hear the word. They've never probably seen anybody with polio. Certainly people of the older generation, we remember it from our childhood.
Well, of course, you know, we do. And the leading person in the UK who is a polio survivor is Mary Berry. And she spent time in an iron lung as a child. So you can survive polio, but it is a terrible disease. But I've heard her speak, and the child in the next bed to her did not survive. And, you know, that is the reality of polio. And it is and could be just a plane ride away.
Oh, yes.
And that's the frightening thing. So the work that you and the other volunteers have been doing globally to eradicate it is also, it's not just giving this vaccine. Some of the money which actually is involved in this is to help with purifying the water and toilets, isn't it?
Yes. Obviously, we go over to help specifically with immunising the children. But some of the money that Rotary raises, and also because there's other partners in ending polio, such as the World Health Organisation and UNICEF, but some of the money actually goes towards improving the water quality in India and improving sanitation arrangements, because that's where the virus lurks. And so they need to improve quite significantly.
Because I remember you saying it is the smell of the raw sewage which is running past these children who play and live in these environments.
When we go into the slums, we're not allowed to visit the worst of the slums, but even what we do see is not a nice sight in some cases. There is a smell. It's not overpowering, but it lingers all the time. These people live with it all the time, but very often you're walking through sewage coming across the path. You see it running down little troughs down the side of the paths. You know, children fall in it, things go in it, all sorts. That's how they live.
Jill, I'm in awe, because as I go back and say, my idea of a holiday is laying on a beach and getting a suntan. It is not paddling near sewage. And this is the problem. It's a waterborne disease. And the fact that, you know, there are still people like you that will go out and try and do something about this. And that's kind of what Rotary does. It is service above self. And you're ticking that box, Jill. You really are, along with the rest of the team. It's humbling to listen to what you've been up to. The story that, you know, you went around India, you met these children. Do you give the children any toys now? Because I know in the past they used to be given a pencil or some very small object because they didn't have much. Is that still going on?
Yeah, yes, we're asked before we go out to actually take some very low value, such as pens, pencils, little rubber balls, masks, something quite of intrinsic value out. And every child we immunise is given a small present. Obviously, pens and pencils, if they've got nothing and they've got nothing to write on, is a bit debatable whether that's of use. But I understand that they apparently sell those, so it is of use to a certain extent.
It must be, because if you're selling your only possession, mm-hmm. It's part of your life, isn't it? That might be feeding someone during a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here twiddling a pencil and thinking, what value would that be in India to a child? You know, we don't think about the basics of something as simple as a pencil with a rubber on the end of it. It means a lot.
That's right. It does, yes.
Yeah, and I understand, obviously, with luggage constrictions, you could only take small things out to give as many of these as possible, because you're pretty busy on these days.
Well, it's also, it has to be in quite small intrinsic value, because apparently anything of large value causes fights, and there are health visitors or health workers who actually don't allow you to give anything out at all if you're in a bad district. But fortunately, everywhere I went, we were able to give things out, and they were very gratefully received.
It is literally another world, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. I can only sort of say I've looked at the pictures and heard you speak, and it brings it closer. But it's profound. It's profound to think of children living like that. I'm a grandmother. My two grandchildren, you know, they have no idea. No idea that children live like that. And the fact that you witness this and stand beside them, and the little guy by the railway line, what can you say? I mean, it is. Words can't explain it.
And it's the numbers. It's not just one or two children. It's millions.
Well, that is true. It is millions. And I think that the thing with Rotary is that we are trying to make a difference across the world. So I think one of the things we'd like to say to our listeners if you've ever wondered what Rotary does, we often jokingly say it's not just for Christmas. It's for, and this is what it's about. This is one of the big programs which you can see the success over the years. that we've had in eradicating this dreadful disease. Now, Jill and I, as we've said earlier on, are members of a local Rotary Club, Shepton Aurora. Jill is a founder member. We've just celebrated 20 years. And think of all the work you've done in that. And I bet when you started, you didn't think you'd be going to India, did you?
Certainly not.
So Rotary is a place where we have fun, but we do the most amazing things. We do that locally and we do it globally. We do it with a lot of fundraising and a lot of fun. But we've also mentioned our Interact group, which is a group of young Rotarians, and they are teenagers. Our group is from Sunbury Manor School. And whilst we're talking about polio, and as we wind this up on what it means to the younger generation, polio, as you said, Jill, in the UK, many people don't have much idea of what polio is today. And this was brought home to us when Paul Hickson, who himself has been to India with his wife several times, a fellow Rotarian, spoke to the group. And they were proverbially gobsmacked because they did not understand what polio was. And I understand you're going to go and tell them about your experiences in India.
Yes, I am due to go in a few weeks' time, so I will put together some slides and do it in a slightly different way, obviously, to what I did for the Rotary Club, and to help educate them as to what is happening on the other side of the world.
Yeah, this particular group are amazing fundraisers. In their first year, they raised about £10,000, and they will want to help. They will want to do something, because now it's been brought to their attention. They're on board because they're Rotarians, and I think that's the power of Rotary, isn't it?
It's lovely, yes.
It is. It's quite a fantastic thing. So our club will be supporting them, and across the UK, all of the clubs. We won't stop until polio has been eradicated. But looking at other things that Rotary does in the UK and globally, if I'm thinking of some things locally that we do. We work with the young, as we've said, with Interact, but we work, of course, in our case, with the Greeno Centre and Cameo, the dementia group.
Yes, we do, yes.
And one of the examples we did with them was quite innovative. Tony's group, which is called Ancient Rock, well, there's an obvious reason for that, put on a gig for the dementia group. And it wasn't just for people in the community to go and raise funds. It was actually for the members of that dementia group and their carers. And they went along and they literally rocked the night away. And we raised, in fact, over the past couple of years, we've raised quite a few £1,000 at those gigs. And that's so different from just, how can I say, digging in the crocuses. That there's two ways that we've raised money for two very different causes.
Yes.
And I know of you 20 years. I mean, we've raised money for so many things. And in Shepperton, you've been on the... Jill has been on the streets for the last 20 years, one has to say, and I want to say this nicely, with the sleigh.
At Christmas time, walking the streets
just can't
in the dark.
Stop her, Graham. She's out there. And that's a wonderful time, isn't it?
Oh, it is quite magical. I wasn't wanting to knock on people's doors and ask for money at Christmas time initially, but it's actually a really lovely experience. So well received around Shepparton, and a lot of people, they knew it from their childhood, and people stand there with open doors and very, very welcoming. Lovely experience.
We're not just for Christmas. We're all year round Rotarians. We're everywhere, basically. So we do our Christmas function. The other week we were doing a video race night, and we were raising funds there for local charities, and we have in the past supported our local hospices. We did quite a lot of work with Woking and Sambir, and it's actually really good fun being a Rotarian, don't you agree?
Oh yes, I didn't expect to be here 20 years later, so I think that says it all.
I think it does, and you know, as I said, Jill is quite a quiet person, and what she's got up to in those 20 years, I think, would well, surprise her. She wrote it all down, and it surprises us sometimes when we think of what we've done over those years. And so Rotary is for anybody, and our club is the highest dual-gender club, I think, probably in the UK. We're 50-50. So it's not just for men, if you were thinking that. There are a lot of lady Rotarians, and we actually have a really good time.
We do, and there's a lot of good friendships made during the time as well.
Yeah, it's an incredible organisation. So do think about Rotary if you're thinking of a hobby, if you're going to recently retire, or if you're still working and you've got some spare time. Check out your local Rotary club. Check out Shepperton Aurora. But the main website that is good to look at is rotary.org, and that details all of the Rotary clubs in the UK, and it's pretty comprehensive. We're very welcoming as an organisation. There are millions of us all over the place. And sometimes, like Jill said, she met Rotarians in India. I went to Portugal on a project we were doing when I was president. And, you know, there are Rotary clubs in Portugal that you can link into. Anywhere in the world, you'll feel at home with Rotarians.
Oh, yes, it's lovely. Some of the Rotarians I met in India last year, I'm still in contact and friends with now. And good friendships are made.
That's the strength of Rotary. So we're going to be out there fundraising for End Polio Now. If you see any of these banners and you think, I've heard about that somewhere, do pass on the message, because seriously, polio is only a plane ride away. And we don't want polio in our world. We don't want it in the UK. And we ever... with people like you, Jill, going out and making sure it doesn't get into our country, and with the children we have here, they're looking at pictures that are removed. We thank you for what you're doing, that it doesn't come here, and we have to look at our own children and grandchildren with that terrible, debilitating disease.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
No, well, it's, you know, you do deserve a thank, and it was a story of hope that we wanted to tell today about Rotary's work in eradicating diseases worldwide, and it is specifically polio that is our big focus. And as we say, our little polio pig on a Wednesday morning, he gets a few pounds, but it mounts up, and that all goes to decent water, clean sanitation, virus for End Polio Now. And, you know, long may it continue that people will give their time, like you, Jill, going abroad. But I have to say, I hope it could end tomorrow, that you never have to go and look at those sites again, that is something that is in the past. And I know that in our lifetime that will be the case. And I hope and pray in the next few years that, you know, when we're talking together over breakfast, it will say 000 for those cases over the years.
Oh, yes. I think everyone's fairly confident that it will come down to naught very, very soon.
Mm. And, you know, it's a matter of years. 30 years it's taken to get to this level. And over those 30 years, hundreds and thousands of Rotarians have travelled across the globe to try and help. And they're just volunteers, like you, Graham. They're a volunteer, as we are at Brooklands Radio, as you all know. But through their volunteering, what an important role they've had in World Health. And working with the World Health Organization, that's been a huge support as well, hasn't it, John?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to basically thank Jill for coming in today to talk about the experiences she's had in travelling to India. I know she's going to be actually now booked up to talk to other clubs about what she got up to in India with the purple pinkies. And if anybody mentions a purple pinky to you, you can tell them what it is, can't you? So we're coming to the end of this this interview. Jill, if you walked away from today and you were thinking about something in your mind that you would take with you for the rest of your life that you got from these inoculation days, any idea what it would be?
I think it's probably me being out there last year, this year, if it actually encouraged a family to bring their child in to be immunised, then I've saved at least one life. Hopefully I saved a lot more from being crippled by this terrible disease.
Well, I think I don't think you can say anything more than that. Jill, thanks a million. You know, you have been a superb guest for us on Just Women, and it was a focus on what one woman in Surrey has done, along with, as I say, the other Rotarians, but specifically you, Jill, to go out to India and work alongside the health workers and the Rotarians there to try and eradicate polio as part of Rotary's push to improve health worldwide. So I'd like to say thank you, and you know that we're always keen to hear of other amazing local women who lead interesting lives, as my friend Jill here does. So if you know of someone who you think would like to come on our show, do email us at justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them. Now, hopefully we'll get them on a future show, but details of past and future guests are on our website, brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too, and at justwomen.br. Thank you for listening today. We've chosen, we hope, an apt song to play out with. It's the theme from with Mumbai Dolls from Slumdog Millionaire. Jill, you were in those slums, so this is to take you back there. And so on that note, I'd like to thank my fellow presenter, the wonderful, the honorary Just Woman that is Graham Laycock, for being here and recording our show. And I'd like to say goodbye from Dorian Pipe and Jill Fawcett.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Jill.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.